Today's reading is from Romans chapter 8, reading verses 26 to 31. This can be found on page 1135 of the Church Bible. Romans 8, 26 to 31. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher and our guide this morning. Pray that we would understand what is written in your word and apply it in our lives, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. When you think about some of the issues that we face today, whether it's to do with transgenderism, whether it's to do with same-sex marriage, some of these issues that affect the church, some of that goes back to the question, is God good? When he made male and female, we ask questions, well, did he mean to stop at that point? When we read in Genesis about a man and a woman being joined together and the husband cleaving to the wife, we say to ourselves, well, did God intend it to be just men and women? Did he intend it to be for life? We keep asking the question about what we read about God, is he good? And I want to address that by looking at our reading from Romans chapter 8. So if you've got Romans 8 open, we're going to look at those verses that were read a few moments ago, verses 26 to 31. And we're going to ask the question about the goodness of God. And from this passage, the first thing that the passage says to us very clearly is that God works for good. Look down at verse 28 of chapter 8. And we know... Sorry, I've got a slightly different version here. Can you give me your version? Thanks very much, Nick. Let me just read the same one that is in the pews. It'll be so much more helpful to everybody. So, verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So, what that passage is saying is that if you love God, if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then God is going to work for good in all things. So, whether you experience good or bad in your life, God is going to bring good out of them. Now you might say, well, okay, why are you particularly making this point that God brings good out of bad things? Well, it's partly, the Bible tells us, that God does this in order for us to be clear what sort of God he is. It's in his character to transform situations to bring good out of them, because one day he's completely going to transform everything and bring the best out of it. He keeps reminding us on the pathway that that's the sort of God he is, so we don't lose confidence in the fact that one day it's going to be full and complete. But having said that, we're still left with this thing about in all things God working for the good of those who love him, because many of us will have been experiencing bad things in our lives and saying to ourselves, is that really true? So can I ask you to note what verse 28 is not saying? Verse 28 is not saying that bad things will suddenly be made good, as though the clock could be turned back and you'll suddenly start feeling differently about whatever the experience is that you've been going through. No, it's not saying that. Because bad things do happen to Christians in exactly the same way as they happen to anyone. We, Christians, can lose our jobs, lose our loved ones, lose our health. And we're going to feel as much pain as anyone else. Verse 28 doesn't tell us that our pain is going to be removed. So if that's how you're feeling this morning, then it doesn't mean you're a bad Christian. It means you're normal. There's something else that verse 28 isn't saying. It's not saying that when God works for good, that this somehow justifies the bad things that have happened. As though, well, you know, it's good that the bad things happened. It's not saying that. I can think of lots of bad things that have happened to people who've subsequently experienced the goodness of God, but it doesn't justify the bad that happened to them. There was a delightful woman in my congregation in Plymouth. She was I loved her dearly. She was very bright, very colourful, always well made up and wearing colourful clothes. She had this lovely silver hair, and she was always working. You know, she was always at the kitchen sink in the church doing the washing up. She was always doling out the coffee. She cooked half the night and brought all the cakes in for everyone to have. You know, and she just charged around doing stuff. And then one day she had a stroke, and it completely immobilized her. The left-hand side of her was totally paralyzed, and she was unable to move around at all. And so she stayed at home. She didn't get out anymore. She wasn't able to do anything at home. She was just about able to cope, but she wasn't able to get out. And she lived a very lonely life. And it went on like that for 10 years. And then she was persuaded to try out the residential home. And she gave it a go and discovered she loved it. And she said, I don't want to move from here. It's wonderful. And so she didn't. And I've never met anybody who so enjoyed living in a residential home as this woman, because she said, I've got company, I've got people looking after me, we've got this great food, I don't have to do any of it, and I can spend the day chatting to people and going around, and I've got a little group together and we pray together. And she was in her element. Did that good that came out of that trial, did that justify everything that had happened to her before? No, it did not. No, it did not. Verse 28 is just saying that God will work to draw good out of our experiences for us, whether those experiences are good, bad, or indifferent. And that's wonderfully reassuring. You see, it doesn't make the bad things better, but the good thing that's come out of it, that has been drawn from the bad, is this wonderful reassurance to us that this is the sort of God we follow. This is the sort of God who one day will indeed deliver on his promise of a new world for each one of us, a place where every tear is wiped away, where we are able to live life to the full. And there's one other thing that verse 28 isn't saying. It's not saying everyone is going to experience this. Those for whom God is working for good are those who love him, not those who all experience bad things. Now, if that's what verse 28 is saying, it leaves us with the question, why is it only written for Christians? Why is it for those who love him? Why do Christians in particular experience good being brought out of bad? And that's because, secondly, God's definition of good isn't ours. God's definition of good isn't ours. So have a look at verse 29. Verse 29 says, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." So God's plan throughout history is to turn people into the likeness of his Son. And of course, those who can be turned into the likeness of his Son are those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the good thing that God is going to bring out of all our different experiences is that he is going to make us more like Jesus. And you may say, but that's not what I want. I want my debt sorted out. I want my leg healed. I want my family back. I want, you know, these cruel things to stop. And God says becoming like Jesus is the best thing that could happen to us. That's his plan for us. Now, why is this? Well, Genesis shows us what sort of people we were made to be. We were made to be the sort of people who had a perfect relationship with our Creator, who were in complete harmony with the world around us and with one another. That was the original makeup of human beings. And then it all went wrong when sin came into the world. So after Adam, everything went wrong. And then Jesus came and reminded us what it was like to be perfectly human. What does a perfect human being look like? And the answer is Jesus. There was someone in complete communion with his Father, someone who related entirely rightly to other people, someone who was in harmony with the world in the sense that he was in complete charge of it. So the more we are like Jesus, the more we fulfill our potential for which we were created, the more we can see the direction God is taking us in. And when we see this as the greatest possible blessing that God could give us, it puts everything else in perspective, doesn't it? So, you know, it means that when bad things happen, or we've made what seems to be a huge mistake, and we wonder if our life will ever get back on course, and all of those sorts of things that can afflict us, actually the situation is never entirely negative, because God will use it. I remember my old vicar saying to me when I was wondering whether I should go for ordination or not. I often jokingly say he never gave me any encouragement to get ordained, but he never did. But I remember sitting in the car with him on one occasion, and he said, "Listen, Rod, I don't know whether God wants you to be ordained or not." But he said, "Whether you are or not, God will bless you. Whether you are or not, God will bless you." How? By making me more like Jesus. So, you know, can I step outside his will if I'm a Christian? No, I can't. I've applied for this job, and if only I'd applied for that one. If only I hadn't married her, and I'd married her. Or if only this had happened, you know, my life would be so much more on track, and I'd be in keeping with God's will, and I feel as though I've stepped outside. It's a nonsense. It's a nonsense. God has got hold of you, and he will bless you. And even if you take a wrong turning and rebel against him, he will use even that to make you more like Jesus. Now, there are ways in which we can make it easier on ourselves by working out what his will is to start with instead of rebelling against it. But that's what he will do. Do you remember that story of Joseph in Genesis? You remember the Joseph and the technicolor dream coat and all the rest of it? You know, his brothers ganged up on him, sold him into slavery. He spent years undergoing most severe trials. So he had to spend time in prison. He was in slavery. He was stuck in Egypt, away from his family. And yet, despite all that, when he eventually saw his brothers, he said to them, "You intended it for harm, God intended it for good, the saving of many lives." And that's, of course, what's going on in our lives as Christians. God intends these things for good. There may be bad experiences, there may be good ones. God will use them because he's conforming us to the likeness of his Son. So we don't know what's going to happen to us. Maybe you'll win the lottery, and God will use that to cure you of your love of money. Maybe he'll use your stress eventually to help you rid yourself of your pride. Maybe you'll lose things that you previously counted on in order to help you to trust him more. Maybe he'll use your suffering to help you with perseverance. Whatever it is, those who love God will find everything being used for their good, being conformed to the likeness of his Son. Thirdly and finally, God's purpose for good is guaranteed. Have a look at verse 30. Verse 30. Those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. So, this is God's plan in action. This is what he's doing in our lives. Those of us who are Christians will know this. So, our attachment to Christ, our ability to put our trust in Christ, started in the mind of God. He predestined us. Which is wonderful, because if it was God's plan that we should be Christ's, then nothing is ever going to stop that plan from working out, is it? If it was God who decided it in the first place, then nothing is going to take us away from Christ. Now, we tend to read these verses about predestination as though they are there to trouble us. You know, we think, oh gosh, predestination, oh, that's difficult. So God decided I should be a Christian, which means he must have decided other people shouldn't be Christians. And why did he do that? Why me and not them? And how do I know whether he's chosen them? And what's the point of me sharing the good news with anybody? Because if God hasn't chosen them, I was just wasting my breath. You know, and if he has chosen them, well, it doesn't need me, does it? And we sort of run, you know, we go round in circles with predestination, don't we? That's never why it's in the New Testament. When predestination is referred to in the New Testament, it's always there to reassure us. We can't see God's hidden hand at work, and we can't see whether we're responding or initiating or anything. But here we have this wonderful description of it starting in the mind of God to reassure us that nothing will take us away from him. No circumstance in our life will ever remove us from him. So there we are. It started in the mind of God. He predestined us. What happened then? After he chose us, what happened after he chose us? Oh, the answer is, we responded to his call. Now, it may seem as though we were doing all the running. You know, we investigated, we became convinced, we ultimately decided to put our trust in Christ. It was the call of God on you. You can wear yourself out trying to persuade somebody to become a Christian. And if God hasn't called them, they just don't respond, do they? That doesn't mean give up on them, by the way. I prayed for 10 years for one of my friends to become a Christian. It was a hopeless case to start with, and ultimately she did. It's amazing. God is good. We never know when he's going to call people. So don't give up. But what happens is God chooses, and it doesn't just mean we wake up one morning convinced that that's it then. No, it operates by a call coming to us to put our faith in Jesus Christ. We respond to that call. What happens after that? Well, we according to this passage, we're justified. In other words, we don't just respond to a call of God and say, okay, I'm yours. No, he leads us to Christ in order to be justified, because we are not fit for his company until our sin has been removed. So we come to Christ and discover that in him we are justified. The great moment of conversion, if you like. And then Paul says the next thing that happens is we're glorified. And he speaks of it in the past tense as though that's already happened. I should be this morning addressing a whole bunch of glorified people. And we look around ourselves and we think, well, you don't look very glorified. But from Paul's point of view, this is so certain. Our glorification, where we are fully and finally transformed into the likeness of Christ, is so certain that he refers to it in the past tense. You were predestined, you were called, you were justified, you were glorified. Well, you're going to be glorified. That's the process, and it is guaranteed because it all started with God and was delivered by God. It doesn't depend on us. Isn't that good news? Isn't God good not to allow us to have to put up with all the things going on wrong in this world forever, but to take us into a perfect world where everything is renewed, every tear wiped away, and where Jesus Christ will be preeminent, but we'll be exactly like him. He'll be the first amongst many brethren. The goodness of God. The world doesn't understand it, but those who love God are reminded of his goodness through all the good that is brought out of the bad things they experience. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much that you are a good God. We want to thank you that when we find ourselves just praying for money or praying for health, your Holy Spirit is interceding for us to pray in accordance with your will, and to pray that out of those circumstances we would be made more like Christ. We thank you for that great promise of being conformed to the likeness of his Son and glorified with him. And we thank you for every reminder of that through the good that is brought out of bad things that happen. We pray, therefore, that you would help us to keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ through both good times and bad, and that we would remember that that is what you are calling us to forever. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.